So, welcome to a Owl episode special. It's our holiday Christmas special. Sometimes myself and Carl might not find a guest and thought, actually, it's still a good opportunity for us to discuss our take on topics and issues that we are interested about or that we want to talk about and that we think needs a platform to discuss. Yeah, Carl, are you looking forward to Christmas break?
Yes, I am looking forward to Christmas break. And I think we asked each other this question earlier on and we thought, wow, we had to think about it, right? Why are we looking forward to it? We're looking forward because we both feel as if a break is definitely, let's say, appreciated, is the right word. Yeah. And we thought about a break from what? Well, you and I are taking a break from academia for a little bit. Yeah. And so we thought that, you know, we'll talk more about why we want a break and whether I'll ask you as well, Deepak, whether you're looking forward to it and if so, why? If not, why? This is a good opportunity in this whole episode to talk a little bit about academia, our thoughts on our roles as academics, and I guess we have to come up with a question, right? That's what an owl episode about. So I guess let's make it relatively broad, Deepak. What are your feelings on academia right now, end of 2022?
Good question. And before I go into that, I think this episode or these kind of standalone owl episodes are going to be something where we cover something that we're passionate about or we want to talk about. So it could be something like Ukraine, or it could be something about the academic world. And I think that is something we talk about quite a lot because we are part of the academic bubble and we do see the way it works and the way it operates. And there are certain things that worry me about how we work and how we apply ourselves. So we were talking about a individual that's discussing the idea of academics taking a break, right? Was that kind of roughly what it was?
Yeah, that was it. So then I saw a tweet about the need to treat your academic role as a job, right? As a 9-to-5. And I think many academics, we really love the freedom, right? We say, well, you know, maybe I can wake up a bit later, maybe I can work until a little bit later, right? And there is a certain freedom in this job of how you work, right? There's not this 9-to-5 stamp your time card and leave working environment for many. And, you know, we get to enjoy a lot of reading and we get to enjoy a lot of research. But of course, one possible negative of that, and I think maybe those who are doing their doctorate know this, sometimes you just don't take a break, right? You work until midnight because maybe I just need to read that one more article, or I need to input that data, or whatever the reason is. And you work through the weekend because, oh, I've got that deadline, or I've got that conference I need to submit for, etc., etc. And so this tweet was a thread on the importance of treating your academic job as a job, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, there was a reply to it, which struck me, and I think it struck the chords of many, which replied saying, hey, but that very much depends on where you are in your academic career path. Right. So, and who you are. Right. So, if you are, for example, a parent and you don't have the benefit of grandparents nearby, or you can't afford a full-time kindergarten, or indeed you don't want to send your kid to nursery every single day, sometimes your kid gets ill, right? And then, no, I've lost 2 hours here, or 3 hours here, or a whole day. I need to work the extra day in the weekend, or I need to work the evening. So, this other viewpoint was presented where, well, actually academia allows us to do that. Sometimes we can't but take advantage of the extra evening, the extra weekend, and to say just treat it as a 9-to-5 brings its own pressures. But I want to know how you feel about that. How do you feel about being an academic and the role of, you know, academia in general, this idea of, you know, being an academic as a job, as a standard job?
I think I actually agree with that tweet because I think that freedom can actually be quite suffocating at times, because you can just be like, well, I don't have a 9-to-5, so I could just work wherever, and it becomes all consuming. And I think we do lose sight of perhaps important things in our lives, our personal lives, our family lives, our relationships, because we are just working away constantly. And we are then almost characterized by the work that we do. And I think that's sometimes really, really, really negative and really problematic. And that's why, you know, there is, you know, as you mentioned, the high suicide rates among PhD students, because you don't step back and realize there is more to you, more to you as a person than the research you do. The research you do is really important, for sure. Yeah. Like, you know, the work that you're putting in, the effort and time you're putting into to do something that's meaningful, that can perhaps have a positive change, it's really important. But sometimes we do fail to step back and realize that is one part of our life, and we do need to do other things outside of it and take care of ourselves. You know, we live in a world where we are thinking about mental health more and more, which is a really good thing, which is a really positive thing. But I think in academia, we don't do it enough. We don't really take care of ourselves. And a result of that, or reason for that, is because we do just work the weekends, or we do work at God knows what hour, when we should probably just stop at 5 o'clock and think, okay, I'm going to go play squash with my friends or something like that.
We, I mean, you and I discussed, of course, there is a certain level of privilege. Like, I'm fully aware that my job is to read, type, and give lessons, right? I mean, there's way more to that, to my job. Yeah. But in the sense of, you know, there's a privileged level of life here in what I do, and I love my job. I think it has gotten better. Sorry, there's no but, but I did want to mention it has gotten better with mental health. I do see already students already are far more aware of the mental health conversation, right? That have been had. I think much better maybe than we started, than when we started our PhD. You were saying earlier on, like, you know, your reach is important. Well, it depends on how much your imposter syndrome is having an effect on you that day.
Yeah,
like, sure. many of us, you ask many researchers, like, yo, so what are you doing? And like, oh, you don't even, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Important stuff, but the imposter syndrome is real. No, but there's, and actually, I've already mentioned to you that I want to talk to an academic about that. Like, what is imposter syndrome? Mm-hmm. Why is it around? What is going on? Why do so many academics seem to be affected by it?
Why is it so prevalent? Why is it so prevalent? I find that fascinating. Like, you talk to so many academics, like, I feel like an imposter. I feel like I'm standing here and talking to this group of of other experts and other academics, and why are they listening to me? That is something that is quite universal. Well, maybe not universal, but quite a prevalent experience for many academics. So, it's this pressure that we put upon ourselves, and we don't talk about it. We don't talk about the fact that we do feel pressure when we talk about our topics and we are engaging with people. If we feel like we're good enough, and maybe to some this sounds like we are just you know, privileged people talking about very difficult things, but you know, you got to think about it. Some people really go down a difficult and awful spiral as a result of that pressure, that emotional pressure, and that's a real thing. You know, people are, as we talked about, people commit suicide because of that experience, because of that mental mental suffering that you go through. And it's a real thing, and I don't think it's a matter of, oh, you know, you're privileged, so you shouldn't talk about it. It's like, no, academics go through that, and we don't talk about it enough, and we should make it a safer environment, not only to bring about whatever ideas and topics we want to, but also to take care of ourselves and not feel like we have to work 24/7 and have to work the weekends and the late nights to be good enough.
I mean, this is where this conversation started, right? We were talking about the holidays and we're going to take a break, and like you said, these are things that really do matter, right? And I think maybe the academic, whoever's listening, who's an academic, who's thinking, I've got to read that one more paper. Maybe just think whether you actually have to read that paper. Hey, if you do, you do. Huh? I'm not gonna say don't, but if you don't, you know, things can wait.
Exactly.
Enjoy that Christmas market. Enjoy time with family. Yeah. That's one thing that I lost out a lot on when I was doing my PhD. Actually, I would spend evenings just reading. And then people are like, hey, do you want to go out? No. What do you mean?
Do you mean the life outside of this work that I've got?
Yeah. So when COVID came, I mean, obviously terrifying, but the lockdown part, the staying in, I was trained. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing. Yeah. I think I had a very similar experience where actually the idea of being like working in a certain area and just bogging yourself down and just doing it was not a weird feeling at all.
Which could be the saddest thing that you and I have probably ever said. Being alone in a room is fine.
But how awful is that? That's actually quite a, like, well, that's, you know, that's a PhD experience. That seems about normal. I mean, that says a lot about how we work and how we operate. And clearly there's some discussion and change that needs to take place there.
Yeah, I wonder what is different for those who are in the natural sciences. You know, they go to labs and stuff, maybe they chat. Yeah, well, you would know, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, there is a far more collaborative initiative that takes place, that you talk, you do regularly have meetings, you have weekly meetings as a group with your supervisor, with your postdocs, with the other PhD students, you're meeting on a regular basis. And yeah, it makes a huge difference. So and it's something we talk about actually in a future episode about collaboration, being more collaborative. Yeah. We lack that in social sciences. So yes, it is probably something we probably need to do more of to make it less of a lonely experience.
We're going to talk to people in next year about some of these topics, about academia, about imposter syndrome, about these things that seem to, I think worry us, maybe it's a bit too strong, but take up some space in our mind. And hopefully learn a little bit more. But for now, it's time to take our own advice a little bit.
Yeah.
And where we can, try and find that time to take time. Right.
Yes. I'm going to end it by saying a good line from a favorite band of mine called Idols. I can't remember the name of the song.
Go on.
Basically, he says, if someone talked to you the way you do to you, I'd put your teeth through. Love yourself.
Wow.
And I think I quite like that line in terms of, I mean, sometimes we are so hard on ourselves. If someone said that to us, you'd be like, get away from me. Don't say that. So, I think it's a really important reminder. Don't be too hard on yourself. Take a step back. Enjoy the Christmas break. Spend time with family. Do something outside of your work. And, enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? If you definitely have to carry on doing research even on the holidays, be nice to yourself anyway. Right?
Exactly.
However you can.
Exactly. So, with that, we'll wrap it up. We'll say Merry Christmas to everyone. Have a great holiday. We'll see you soon.
Happy holidays.